910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Severson. The current Hamas proposal for a Gaza ceasefire and hostage release has significant gaps, says Benny Gantz, the Israeli official. But he says Israel will send a delegation to the Cairo negotiations. White House National Security official John Kirby.
We still believe that reaching an agreement is the absolute best outcome, not only for the hostages, but for the Palestinian people. And we're not going to stop working to that outcome.
Two longtime employees of the Trump Organization testified today at the criminal trial in New York. It was about their role in executing a string of reimbursements for hush money to then-Trump attorney Michael Cohen. Before today's testimony, Judge Juan Merchan found Mr. Trump again in criminal contempt for violating his limited gag order, fined him another $1,000, and threatened to jail him. A particularly dangerous situation, watch, is how the National Weather Service labels an advisory for tonight for possible tornadoes from Oklahoma City to Wichita, Kansas. This is ABC News. A pastor in South Carolina facing growing questions on the death of his wife after she was found dead at a state park in North Carolina. ABC's Andrea Fujii.
Micah's husband, Pastor John Paul Miller, says she took her own life. Her friends struggling to come to terms with that. Many mourners wearing T-shirts and holding signs to raise awareness for domestic violence. Her husband speaking out last week.
She was probably the greatest wife anyone could ask for.
Micah reportedly filed for divorce from her husband in October, and again just days before her death, according to claims made by her family to local media.
Police confirm an investigation into Micah's death is ongoing. A 10-month-old girl who was reported kidnapped in Clovis, New Mexico, was found safe today with somebody now in custody. The baby's mother, as well as two other women, were found dead, gunshot wounds at a local park last Friday. Motive remains unknown. Chuck Severson, ABC News.
Matt Mayer on air.
We Energies said the raccoon came into contact with some equipment in a substation. I just have this vision of this raccoon being egged on by his buddy raccoon going, touch them both. See what happens. Do that. Then touch that one.
They're not cute. They're not cuddly. They are disease-ridden, opposable thumb-having little trash pandas.
Matt Mayer on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
Terry Barr, host of Slice of Wisconsin here on Civic Media. Mr. Zommers, what is that called?
My Wife is Drunk by Terry's favorite, Alvin Stasinski.
There you go.
Yeah. It's so funny to listen to a polka because you think, where did that song come from?
Right? We actually had one person text during the break there said, how about the Meadow Muffin Polka?
Todd, let's quickly write that and make it.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Brewers are going to Kansas City. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers open up a 3-game set tonight at Kauffman Stadium against the Kansas City Royals. The crew essentially tied for first place in the NL Central after being shut out in Chicago yesterday, 5-0 by the Cubs at Wrigley. Pat Murphy going to have to get creative with his starting pitchers as Freddie Peralta begins a 5-game suspension for allegedly intentionally beating a batter last week. NBA, the Bucks cleaning out their lockers as their offseason begins. Giannis telling reporters he was still several weeks away from being ready to play, coming off that calf injury suffered April 9th against Boston. Damian Lillard.
It's definitely disappointing because you know how much better of a team we are when he's on the floor and how much things change when he's on the floor and you play an entire 82-game season. You go through training camp. You go through all the ups and downs of a NBA regular season and you get to the point where, all right, now we're going to play for everything and you're not whole. It's frustrating. It's disappointing, but, you know, it's part of the game.
That's the Bucks' Damian Lillard with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Clear this evening, increasing clouds overnight. Lows in the upper 40s to 50. For tomorrow, a cloudy day with scattered showers and thunderstorms and highs to the upper 50s. Mostly cloudy and cooler on Wednesday, highs in the low 60s with more rain possible. It's 71 right now.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
This past week, the far, far right created what they called the Floor Action Response Team. The acronym there is FART. And no such stealth bills came to the floor that would cause the fart to rise. Again, I fact-checked it. That's what they called themselves.
That name really stinks, Maggie. Sorry,
let
I had
the
to.
Puns roll
the
in.
Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, this is Aaron from the Todd Albaugh Show. On our next episode, Todd's going to be back here in the studio on State Street, and we'll have Luke Mathers for another round of Tuesday Tangents, as well as some fresh Brewer tickets for you.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt and Air on Air.
about what kindergarten and first grade teachers across our country do now and have been doing for just decades and decades. So I'm going to have to take a shout out to Mrs. Palmer. I have no idea where she is or what she's doing, but I will say she taught me to read. She's my first grade teacher. She showed compassion towards me. I was a very difficult child in a working class community.
Get out.
I was in timeouts all the time and being shouted at often. And she's one of the first and only probably elementary teachers I had. You know, I'll give it era. The Tigers had won the World Series. So for folks out there with sports trivia can figure out my age and time. But this is, she was one of the few who was able to harness my ADHD and able to direct me in ways that, one, I learned, and two, I felt good about who I was. And I learned a whole lot about how I behaved also impacted others. And the lessons I learned in first grade carried me quite far. And I would say even into adulthood, I can hear Mrs. Palmer sitting me down with calm, regulated energy and teaching me how to be in community with other people as a learner. And so I got a shout out to first grade teachers out there, because I know you do this for so many students. You see them, they're all ramped up in energy and they're running around and they're going bonkers in your classroom, and you figure out a way, hopefully, to recognize who they are, to show them that they're valued in the world, but that it's not anything goes, and that we have to, kind of be kind to ourselves and others and be our best learner selves. And so shout out to Mrs. Palmer and to really in general, every kindergarten and first grade teacher out there, because you are making it so that these young people can be in community together as learners. Appreciate you.
Yeah, teachers, thank you so much for everything you do. Truly, Busted Pencils. Man, we busted pencils for all the teachers out there. Man, thinking about that, John, you made me think about this first grade and teaching. You said teaching to read. There is a big movement right now in America, the science of this. It's really started in this old idea of the science of reading. We've had our friend Paul Thomas come on to talk a little bit about that, about the science of reading. And here it is. It's the first Monday of the month. And what the first Monday of the month is? Geez, when we have an important topic and we have a question, we have our go-to. What would Matt Damon's mom say about the science of reading? Dr. Nancy Carlson Page, what do you think about, what is this science of reading stuff? Tell us, help us understand.
I'm sure you know, and probably many people listening know, that this isn't a new thing. There have been for 100 years or more, and for the 5 decades since I came into education, there have been what have now been called the reading wars, right? The reading wars. Mm-hmm. And they cycle through, they're cyclical. They depend on convincing people that we have a reading crisis and then we have to solve it. And then there's attention created. Basically, it's always been essentially between phonics first people who think phonics should be directly taught to kids and skills based, and people who have a more whole language or balanced literacy approach, looking at a more holistic way of teaching reading. And it shows up in different ways. But this one, what's happening right now, which is the latest iteration of this ongoing cyclical contention, is scarier in the sense that it's built on absolutely nothing. This word science has been appropriated to describe this, but there is no science. I have spent days, you guys, days trying to get to the bottom of this movement, trying to find the research, to find the science. There are no citations in what it's all BS. I mean, they are just saying things that is coming out of nothing credible. I can't find any solid research basis for what their claims are. But first of all, the whole thing came out as a result of this journalist, Emily Hanford, with a podcast she had called Sold a Story, that is just full of misconceptions and falsehoods. And if you listen to it, I mean, it's alarming, because this is my field, early literacy. I taught it to graduate students Lesley University for 35 years. This is my field. And I'm telling you, what's happening right now is so harmful for kids because it's resulting in basically top-down phonics-based reading instruction at the expense of comprehension and meaning and other language experiences that play a significant role in learning learning to read. Not everybody learns the same way.
So, Nance, it sounds to me like you've got a little bit of knowledge on this thing, 35 years of teaching early literacy, because when I hear the science of, people are always putting it out there. First of all, as you said, the appropriation of that term is to, quote, qualitatively convince people that, hey, it's science, so it's good. And yeah, then of reading. But as you point out, too, early literacy, I have, though, have heard staunch, radical, you know, kind of defense of the science of reading, particularly in the name of young pre-kindergarten, first grade students, is saying it is an absolute necessity that we science of reading all younger kids. Thoughts?
Well, many states, I think it's 27 even, have passed legislation mandating the science of reading. So it's happening. I mean, it's happening all across the country. It's a hype. It's a media hype. Okay. It's a propaganda campaign and people are falling for it. Legislators are falling for it. But if you look carefully, there is not only isn't any credible research that connects to instruction in reading. It's a very complicated field. With a lot of different, there've been thousands of studies on reading. But also there's no research that connects reading, that shows any reading instruction program is better than any other. So that's also a falsity. There's a whole range of them.
Okay.
Teachers need to know all this stuff and be able to apply it to any given kid like Johnny. A teacher needs to know how to work with a kid like that and all the other kids in the room. And it's not one size.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Small business owners, we know finishing your to-do list can feel like rowing upstream, but it's a river, a whitewater river, and the only paddles you have are pool noodles. Then when a new to-do pops up, you're like, nope, I'm already rowing upstream with these pool noodle paddles. At Progressive, we don't want to make your day any harder. That's why we make it easy to get personalized discounts with a commercial auto insurance quote online, so your to-do list is smooth sailing. See if you can save on commercial auto insurance in as little as 7 minutes at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Coverages and discounts not available in all states and subject to policy terms and underwriting.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. And on the Civic Media app.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast format? Search no more. Find it now on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com. Your news just for the Superior area. I'm James Kelly with WBZH News.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
There it is. Busted pencils, fully leaded education talk. It's all because of you. That's you, teachers. It's Teacher Appreciation Week. Busted Pencils is appreciating you. Right now, though, first Monday of the month, what would Matt Damon's mom say about the science reading? We really, really tight on that last segment. And so Nancy agreed to just give us the final thoughts and to let us know that, hey, the first Monday of June, we're going to really dig deeper. And so you were talking about this, the kind of the top-down mandated approach to this curriculum. And what I hear this is, just wonder if you think, isn't this just a mandate to sell a whole bunch of curriculum for curriculum providers? And that they're really, like you're saying, there's no science. It's become a mandate to sell curriculum that may or may not do it. Okay.
Millions of dollars are made on the curriculum packages that result from the cyclical arguing about how to teach reading, and scores don't change. So the other thing is, this movement is a distraction from facing the real issues, the social factors that contribute to poor reading scores. And that has to do with poverty, and that has to do with inequality. And those things don't get addressed. And it's very easy then for legislators to say, oh, we're going to solve all the problems. Schools can solve social problems. So we'll solve the problem of reading by mandating the science of reading. And we're going to just take care of the low scores. And that isn't how it's going to happen, because if you look at any zip codes or states with low scores, it's all from lower income places. And just a nod to teacher appreciation. I know that when teachers get mandated another approach, it so undermines their professionalism and disrespects everything they know, all the work they've done to tool up to be teachers and understand how to teach reading. And then people who don't even understand or have the background that teachers have about how to do it come along and tell them how to do it. And it's very, very discouraging. And so teachers, thank you for hanging in there. And hopefully you can keep teaching reading the way you know, and you don't have to follow this.
That's Dr. Nancy Carlson Page. Yes. Yep. What would Matt Damon's mom say about the science of reading? Well, you just heard it, Nancy. And you know what? We appreciate you as probably one of our favorite teachers too, right, Johnny?
I would say so. Yeah, we appreciate you having you on the show, but also sharing all your wisdom with us and our listeners. So, Nancy, thanks for busting pencils with us.
Well, thanks for having me, and thanks for doing what you guys are doing. And to everybody out there cares about kids.
Thank you, Nancy. Okay. All right. Johnny, so, wow. You know, we couldn't just let that hard ending with Nancy be in the first segment. We had to get her to come back and at least put that final bit of wisdom out there for us. And so always appreciate Nancy Carlson Page coming on the show. But, you know, Johnny, too, hey, full show, because people have been reaching out. But a few weeks ago, I interviewed the provost and the dean at Western Michigan University about a Grow Your Own Teacher program. And it's phenomenal. You know, Julian and Laura, the dean and the provost, man, just went on about like Michigan moving in a direction to finally say we're going to address the teacher shortage.
Yeah, they
did. I said, you know what? I want to have some of these Grow Your Own candidates on. And guess what we got today?
We sure do. I mean,
we do. We've got,
we can talk a lot about how this is happening, but what better than, especially in Teacher Appreciation Week, having one of the Grow Your Owns from Western Michigan University. We have with us Alex. Alex Moore, how you doing?
Yeah. Alex, what's happening, Alex?
Hey, it's great to be here.
Yeah. So Alex, let me do a little bio for you, because you have a unique story in this Grow Your Own approach, because I think most listeners are going to be like, whoa, wait, what? He's already a teacher? Yeah, he's a fourth grade teacher at Ryan Intermediate at Gull Lake Community Schools in Richland, Michigan. This is his fourth year teaching. He's also the building's leader in ME coordinator, which is your version of the school improvement chair. You're working, though, towards your master's in literacy studies through the Grow Your Own at Western Michigan. You plan on graduating in spring of 2025. So, Alex, welcome to Busted Pencils.
Hey, thank you for inviting me on. This is going to be great to share.
It's the second time you just got introduced and welcome to Busted Pencils. Okay, Alex, but when I say that, so you already are a fourth grade teacher, and Johnny just said, so first of all, hats off, man, appreciation, dude. Loving it. I hope you got a whole bunch of love today in that first day of Teacher Appreciation Week. How, though, explain to me the Grow Your Own standpoint for a teacher who's already been a teacher, what it is that you are doing, literacy studies. Just give us a sense of how the Grow Your Own program works with you already a licensed teacher in the state of Michigan.
Yeah, so for myself, like you said, I'm already currently teaching. I have my undergraduate degree in elementary education. And coming out of that, I knew someday down the road, I wanted to go back and get a master's degree to further my own education so I can better serve my students. But at the time, I really didn't give myself like a hard timeline of, in X number of years, I'm going to go back. It was just kind of a thing that was out there that I eventually wanted to do. And then this Grow Your Own came along about a year ago. There was kind of some rumblings going around that the state was going to be funding this and districts could apply for it. And that spurred me on of, hey, if I'm going to go for it, this is the opportunity for the state to cover that tuition for us is a game changer. So that kind of spurred me along maybe a little quicker than I would have, but I couldn't pass up the opportunity. So as an undergrad, my focus was on math. You had to pick one content area at Western Michigan to focus on. And coming out of COVID and just generally, I felt that literacy studies was an area that students had a lot of need, especially the gaps after COVID being virtual and everything. So that seemed like a natural fit. And it was one of the programs that was offered because you couldn't just go get a master's for anything at all. It had to be an area of need as defined by the state. So I went ahead with the literacy studies. And initially, our district actually did not get the first round of funding. It was so highly sought after that they didn't have enough money to go around. But at that point, I was like, hey, our district said they're going to reapply second round. It'll be retroactive. So I'm just going to get started with it. And it kicked in this actually this summer semester will be my first semester covered under it.
So wow. you went for it. Johnny Gupinacci, right? Do you hear the uniqueness in this program? He's already a licensed teacher, but using Grow Your Own, and I think this is what I heard, Alex, it's a critical need, literacy studies. And so using that, I love the innovation on that because I tell you, the Grow Your Own in a couple of the states that I'm aware of, it is very much in one way, it is only to increase the number of licensed teachers, and teachers with a license need not apply. This, what Alex is talking about at Western Michigan with his school district, though, is saying, in Michigan, then it feels like to me they're going, not only do we have a shortage and we want to grow our own teachers, but we have areas that we really want our teachers to get that extra professional development, that extra license, that extra credential, because we know there are gaps. And so here's Alex out there saying, I'm already a teacher. I would love to get a master's degree. I love the whole idea, first of all, of you getting a master's degree already, because, man, that's a whole other conversation in teacher education, because in a lot of states, they try to do away with teachers and master's degrees because it doesn't do anything worthwhile. We are talking, though, to Alex Bohr, fourth grade teacher in Michigan, Western Michigan, Grow Your Own candidate, fourth grade teacher, not moving on yet, but getting his master's degree in literacy studies, critical shortage area. Alex, when we get back, we're going to dig deep, though. And I truly, I want you to talk to me about when we get back, why a master.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The election leader in Wisconsin's largest city is out 6 months before the presidential election. Mayor Cavalier Johnson says he's replacing Election Commission Director Claire Woodall with her deputy, Paulina Gutierrez. Milwaukee has had its share of scrutiny in a swing state like Wisconsin, where four of the last six presidential elections have been decided by less than a percentage point. A collection of art by inmates of Wisconsin State Prisons is on view at the Neville Public Museum in Green Bay. Curator Deborah Bremer says people are surprised by the quality of the art, but that she also understands.
It's about hardship, it's about crimes, it's about victims.
Art Against the Odds is on display through Sunday the 19th. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez was in Superior on Friday to speak with healthcare professionals at St. Mary's Hospital. Lieutenant Governor Rodriguez is on a state tour of Wisconsin hospitals, gathering information on how best to address the challenges the struggling healthcare field faces across the state. According to a Northern News Now report, Ascentia health officials said one of their main concerns is encouraging more people to work in the healthcare field in some of the more rural areas of the state. State Representative Chance Green has announced his bid for re-election to the Wisconsin State Assembly in the newly drawn 74th District. According to his campaign announcement, Green touted his track record of delivering conservative policies for the region, highlighting tax cuts, economy and infrastructure, protecting sporting heritage, and maintaining election integrity. The newly drawn district will cover the entirety of Iron, Sawyer, and Washburn counties and parts of Ashland, Douglas, Bayfield, and Burnett counties. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
I'm Pete with the 60-second showbiz beat. In Guys Who Can't Stop Being Creeps news, Grabby McGee, a.k.a. Kevin Spacey, is under fire again for inappropriately touching people. Not so ironically, the allegations come before the release of a new documentary about Kevin Spacey for, wait for it, inappropriately touching people. To keep the investigations easier, authorities have asked people that haven't been groped by Spacey to please come forward. Spacey Unmasked drops on Max May 6th. Fans of Blue Bloods have had a nice run, but the show ends in December. Deadline.com reports Tom Selleck has warned the producers that people might not be ready to say goodbye, and I'm sure he did so in the most measured, borderline, dull, unexciting way possible. Just kidding. Love the Sellickster, and 14 years is a pretty good run. The network says they are looking for new ideas. Translation? Be prepared for something other than Blue Bloods that is exactly like Blue Bloods to premiere next fall. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Clear this evening, increasing clouds overnight. Lows in the upper 40s to 50. For tomorrow, a cloudy day with scattered showers and thunderstorms and highs to the upper 50s. Mostly cloudy and cooler on Wednesday, highs in the low 60s with more rain possible. It's 71 right now.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
We're going to have policy arguments for the rest of time. But at base, I want my president to be a decent person. I firmly believe that Joe Biden always is trying to do the right thing, that he is a decent man. And in sharp contrast, we've got a man who thinks it's a good thing that stars get to commit sexual assault. And we know that because he said it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
State Senator Kelda Royce in Richland County. UW System made the unilateral decision to completely vacate the campus by July 1st of this year.
It's so short-sighted to think it costs a little bit more money to run it and there aren't as many students, so let's just shut it down. A smart business owner would say now is the time to invest because we know every person that comes through the door, you're going to get 40-fold the investment from how they're going to be able to give back to our state.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreidlow.
Tuesday morning on Up North News Radio, Robert Craig of Citizen Action Wisconsin about the ongoing mountain of medical debt smothering American families.
Up North News with Pat Kreidlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Well, that's what we're doing. We're having Alex tell us everything. It's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. Michigan, Western Michigan University, grow your own. Talking to Alex Bohr, fourth grade teacher in Michigan, using grow your own funding to pursue his master's degree in literacy studies. Alex, and I said before the break, I'm like, okay, master's degree. Have you heard any of the, you know, for a long time now, people have been saying, well, teachers don't need master's degrees. It doesn't do anything to help their students. Any thoughts on that kind of, or have you heard anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, outside of like the education in the programs, you know, a lot of times even the professors start to plug. So when you come back for a master's eventually, and it's kind of like, hey, let me finish one thing at a time here. I do hear some of that every now and then. And kind of the thing that I come back to is, you know, we as teachers believe that everyone is a lifelong learner, including ourselves. And so if I can find different opportunities, whether it's through a formal master's degree or just other development opportunities to continue to grow myself as an educator to be better every year with whatever content I have, you know, I want to pursue those opportunities. And a master's degree, while it is a large thing to take on, it also can provide a lot of other opportunities for me as a teacher. You know, I plan to still stay in the classroom with my degree, but I could also take that to be like a reading specialist or other interventionists and things like that.
Mm. Well, so when you grow your own, just, you know, we'll lay it out there. So the idea here in Michigan, though, too, it's not just a shortage of teachers, but they're saying there's a shortage of critical areas, too, within the teachers. So you're responding to that by taking the master's degree and adding on that reading in literacy, literacy studies, reading specialist type of credential certification. How did you said I'm thinking about my master's degree, but I mean, how did you find out about the Grow Your Own program? You said you did your undergraduate at Western Michigan. Was it a connection there? I mean, how did you find out? And just talk us through how you become a Grow Your Own candidate.
So in our district, they actually sent communications out to all staff probably a year and a half ago saying, hey, this program is coming. We're going to apply for the funding, but we need to know how many people in the district want to pursue this. So they had a little form that we had to fill out and submit to them saying, do you want to do this? Where would you want to do this? What programs would you want to do? And then they use that data to be able to submit to the state and say, here's the amount of people that we want or that are interested, and here's the amount of money we would need to do that. So that process kind of started, and then they got back to us with, here are the colleges that we're partnering with, and obviously Western Michigan was one of them. I believe Central Michigan was one, which to me, that's a rival, so can't go there. And I believe there's a third one that I'm blanking on right now. It might have been MSU, but basically for me already going to Western as an undergrad, I was very familiar with a lot of the professors there, very familiar with their online learning system. And so it was just kind of a natural fit to continue there. And so then once we kind of submitted on our behalf, like, here's our interest and what we want to do, the district and some of our representatives took it from there.
Nice. Well, Alex, you spurred a caller. Caller Justin from Stillwater. Oh. Justin, hey, oh. Justin, what's happening?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it. So I just was interested, what do we think Mick Jagger meant by, you know, the governor of Georgia or wherever he is, that he is a tyrant of some sort and somebody who is intolerant?
Justin, I think that might be on a different show we're talking about right there. We're talking Grow Your Own candidates in the state of Michigan. Anya, if you just maybe check in with Justin and see where, you know, if he wants to bring us in there. But Alex, that happens sometimes, Alex, man. Alex got somebody coming out there wanting to figure out where they could sign up for Grow Your Own. Okay, it's a scholarship. So it's expensive to get a master's degree. What conditions are there then for you, Alex, to get the funding for this? I mean, what are you agreeing to? What are you saying? You know, because typically, you know, there ain't no free lunch. Right. So, okay. So you got to be telling the state, you know, what, like, give us your commitment, because is this 100% of your tuition for your master's degree is funded as long as you do this?
Yes, 100% is funded. And there are some stipulations that come along with it. Like, you have to stay within the state of Michigan for a certain number of years after you complete. Districts can also add like other stipulations of, if you're going to do this through our district, you have to teach in our district for a certain amount of time. Ours, to my knowledge, did not add that certain thing in. They're just kind of like, hey, we're growing educators. And if you happen to get your master's in a couple of years, life circumstances come up and you move somewhere else, they're not going to hold that against us. But for the state itself, they're kind of saying, hey, we're putting up this money and we want to invest in Michigan teachers. So we're going to require that you can't just finish your master's on our dime, go teach another state kind of thing, which to me makes sense. If you're willing to fund it, you've got to be able to get a little bang for your buck as well.
Johnny, Alex said one of your favorite words, invest.
Well, yeah, man, I think these are great programs. You know, they're thinking forward about keeping teachers not only in the classroom and building their, you know, professional skill set in our communities. It's just it's really investing. Like, we talk about good teaching invests in future democratic citizens in our communities, like the young students in our class. We're also talking about the state saying, we don't just care about like the teacher's students' performance. We care about how teachers are doing, how they feel, and how they're supported. And that kind of climate, that kind of investment in recognizing and valuing them as teachers in the state, right, is really important to retaining great teachers in the state. I mean, we see it around the country. There are teacher exoduses, Tim, as you called it, you know, many times from the profession, and also from states to other states where, you know, where teachers go because they're a little more valued, because there's an opportunity to either be paid commensurable to, you know, the living expenses, or just in general, maybe they have, you know, less like less strict policies around standardized testing and, you know, and the strictness of a scripted curriculum. And so these are great ways that states, remember we talk about all the time, Tim, on the show, education is a state right. It's why local democracy is so important, because your state and your local government process matters a lot. And Alex is a great example of that. You know, state of Michigan has swung back. It's like a pendulum. It's been doing this for decades.
Oh, yeah.
It's swung back to really supporting teachers and being a state where they say, hey, we know it's really hard. We know the conditions are difficult, and we want to support you doing everything we can do to make it so you, Alex, and any other teacher out there doing things like Alex is doing, saying we want you to feel supported and invest in your education, because lifelong learners make for great teachers. So Alex, thanks for participating. And hey, we got Jack from Merrimack, who's also, he's a former teacher. So right. Let's get Jack. Jack, come on the show with us.
All righty. Anytime, my friends. The years that I worked on my master's degree were pretty interesting. I worked at a school district outside of Milwaukee, one of the suburban districts. And as we know, there's a wide difference in the financial ability of school districts throughout the state. This one has happened to be in one of the 20 richest counties in the country. on a per capita income basis anyway. And they let me off for a full year to work on my master's degree at half pay. Mm. They paid me to work on my master's. In return, this was about the time that computers were just starting to come into the public schools. And my master's was on computer tutoring in the classroom, and I evaluated for that for my final project something like 80 or 85 individual computer tutoring programs, everything from organic chemistry nomenclature to basically figuring out the electron configurations of various atoms. And it was a very useful degree to get at the time. It's a very useful thing to study at the time. Things have gotten a lot more advanced since then, but the point is, this was the early stages when a whole bunch of school districts throughout the country got Apple II computers courtesy of Apple Computer for their classroom.
So it sounds too like to me. So first of all, you valued getting your master's degree. I wonder though, if we're talking about this program, you got half pay. Alex is having his master's degree fully funded by the state of Michigan. Any thoughts on the whole idea of a state stepping up and fully funding teachers' master's degrees?
Well, that's a great idea, an idea whose time has not only come, but it should have come years and years ago. How useful it is very much depends on what you decide to study. But I found mine extremely useful. That's all I can say.
All right, Jack.
Well, Jack, you're a former teacher. Appreciate you for all your years of service and for your continued listening and participation in the show, Jack.
Yeah. Thank you, Jack. So Alex, right there. So you are special, man. The fact that Michigan has really made that switch, as Johnny said, the investment in teachers. You know, we heard from your provost, Julian, and your dean, Laura, about this program, but Michigan really making this investment in a teacher like you to say, yeah, we value education. We value lifelong learning, and we have some critical need areas. And right now, just to remind people too, as you said, Alex, you know, coming out of COVID, you know, we're finding that some younger children have some gaps, particularly when it comes to literacy. And so you are then engaging in, would it be similar to what's called like a reading intervention specialist type of degree you're getting with your literacy studies?
Yeah, that would be fair to say. I can obviously remain as a classroom teacher with this additional endorsement, but I could also take that to either be like a reading interventionist teacher or even like a district literacy coach.
Okay. And so your intentions are to stay in your classroom and use this knowledge with your fourth graders.
Yes. Yeah. For me, being in the classroom is where it's at.
Okay. So now that you've been in the program, are you currently, so you're currently teaching right now, you're taking classes. When do classes occur? How do they occur? Are they online? Are they face-to-face? Are they, you know, do you have regular? Just give us a sense. What the, when you're taking a class, how are you getting the reading or the reading endorsement curriculum? How is Western Michigan delivering that curriculum to you?
So it is a fully online curriculum to be able to account for the fact that they're partnering with a lot of districts that may not be super close to the Kalamazoo where Western is. Typically, a course, in my experience, would meet one or two times per month live, like as a synchronous session on a Zoom or a WebEx or whatever. And then the rest of it is held like in their e-learning platform, and you work through the different modules, activities, readings, videos. Occasionally, they have you pair up in what they call PLC groups, professional learning communities, with smaller groups of students to engage on the week's activities and readings. Then you kind of submit like your little report back to the professor of what did you talk about, what did you cover, what are you working on. So I do feel like they tried to adapt and understand to the fact that, hey, a lot of these students pursuing masters are also full-time teachers, and a lot of them have families, and a lot of them have other commitments. So trying to not make it like a hard schedule of like you're going to class after school every night, or you're having to commute to different places and things like that. I think it's been really, really accessible.
So the modality there. Yeah, you're speaking of those other institutions. Just so you know, Johnny Lupinacci is an Eastern Michigan
grad
person.
Oh, nice.
I'm a big fan of colleges that station across the state of Michigan, though. I've dabbled in quite a few of them, and Western's got a great – I mean, we've got some great friends over at Western, Tim. So I'm trying to start Eastern Michigan.
No, I wasn't trying. I was a Bronco for a little while. I was going to see if you were going to jump in and be like, no. So it's Alex Bohr, Western Michigan, grow your own fourth grade teacher pursuing master's degree, literacy, critical need area, state of Michigan, investing in their teachers. Hey, Teacher Appreciation Week, Alex, man, thank you so much for busting pencils with us, our friend.
Yeah, happy to be here, and happy Teacher Appreciation Week to everybody out there.
That's right.
Keep all right.
Good work, Alex.
And more appreciation coming up next.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute and a tip today for saving on streaming TV. Ever wonder if those streaming companies' whole business model is just luring us in with free trial subscriptions and then making it feel so hard to cancel? Well, spoiler alert, that is exactly what they do. The best way to keep your streaming costs in check is just using some old-fashioned financial elbow grease. Take 20 minutes and have a money meeting with yourself. Look at your bank statements, your credit card bills, make a list of every service you signed up for. And if you are anything like, well, everyone else, there's probably at least one thing you're not using. Cancel it. Anything you haven't watched in the last month, just cancel it. You can always sign back up again. They make that pretty easy. Between now and then, you'll save yourself a bunch of money. For more tips like these, go to workmoney.org or text MONEY to 88285. This is Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Take good care.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Yeah, it's coming up. Hey. Last segment, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education, 855-752-4842. Teacher Appreciation Week. Awesome teacher. What would Matt Damon's mom say? Dr. Nancy Carlson Page, our favorite teacher, showing up to tell us a little bit about the science of reading. Alex Bohr, Western Michigan University, yep. Grow your own candidate. learning, adding on a master's degree to his fourth grade teaching. And in the middle of that, Johnny, we had a call. And
from Justin from, I think it was Stillwater.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe we cut him off a little prematurely.
It was good to push it to the end because, you know, we were on a roll with Alex and we were doing a lot with teacher appreciation and, you know, coming off of a great segment with Dr. Nancy Carlson Page. So it's a jam-packed Monday. But you know what we always talk about, Tim, is that, you know, teaching comes in many forms. And we've talked a lot about, you and I have in the past, and we've had some special shows dedicated to it and things. But we talk often about, you know, the political voice that people in particular that like musicians have, right? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, anyone out there who has an audience that like they're like all music is political, right? Mm-hmm. Some is for the kings and the queens and some is for the serfs on the other side of the wall. And, you know, I think Justin brought something up where Mick Jagger, you know, the Rolling Stones recently played at the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival. And they closed their concert with "You Can't Always Get What You Want." Just a classic, right?
Right. Absolutely. So,
but, you know, Mick Jagger did the thing. We love music and we think musicians are teachers. We think that the message that they share with their audiences and through their music moves people, you know, and it's a stalwart and part of social movements everywhere. So I want to give applause to Mick Jagger, and Justin brought it up, but you know, he before the Rolling Stones started playing "You Can't Always Get What You Want, you know, he said, here we are in New Orleans, right? And they want to include the governor Jeff Landry too in this message, even if he wants to take us back to the Stone Age. Right. Mm-hmm. And then played "You Can't Always Get What You Want." So big ups. So I know Justin was asking what we thought about it. Big ups to Mick Jagger, who got on the stage, you know, and said something about the political moment that the people in Louisiana are in. And really, it resonates across our country, right, as there are politicians who do intend very much to take us back into the Stone Age. But, you know, it was great hearing that in the news this week. It was awesome for Justin to call and bring it up. I don't even know. Maybe they were discussing it on a previous show and Justin got the chance to call him. But Justin may also know, and listener out there, you're listening, you may know, Tim and I, we chop it up about music too, because
absolutely,
we talk a lot about formal schooling, but we often talk about liberating education from schooling. And, you know, and everybody has a voice and every voice matters. So Mick Jagger, big applause from the Busted Pencils guys. Because you know what? You can't always get what you want.
You
but what I do want is I do want people who have the opportunity to speak truth to power to do so. And you know what? I got to throw some love to. I have very little knowledge specifically of Landry's politics. But what I do know, I'm not a fan of. But, you know, he clapped back on X, you know, the Twitter. You know, he said, "You can't always get what you want. The only person who might remember the Stone Age is Mick Jagger. Love you, buddy. You're always welcome in Louisiana." And so, you know, a little bit of conversation. We talk about this all the time. This is the kind of conversations we need to have. Speak truth to power, Mick Jagger did. And you know what? Governor Landry, you know, clapped back. And he said, you know, you might 80-year-old Mick Jagger be the only one.
remember the Stone Age.
But the fact is, you know, our elders do remember a time when it was like, hey, really? And I especially want to speak to that in this moment. Teachers come in many forms. So, you know, I think about last week, Tim, you and I being, you know, out on the front lines with John and Gordy, and both those guys remember a time when they were part of the Vietnam protests, you know, and so they were sharing wisdom from history, and that's really important to do. And so I commend that. And we got to do that kind of thing, Tim, you know, with a lot of folks in Madison at the Minocqua Brewing Company. And Busted Pencils is sponsored by the Minocqua Brewing Company, who sued the state of Wisconsin to end its parasitic voucher system that hurts public schools. Minocqua Brewing Company is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. So check out MinocquaBrewingCompany.com to see where you can buy their progressive beer.
Yeah, man. Bringing that all together just like that, you know, man, I tell you what, to progressive beer, ain't no Stone Age there, right there. That is some woke beer, woke coffee, and man, loving what we were doing there. I think that is so kind of funny there. You gotta give, you know, the governor of Louisiana a little bit of props for coming back. Now, whether he wrote that, you know, Mick Jagger's maybe might be the only one who remembers the Stone Age, That's kind of funny, though. I'm kind of laughing at that and feeling. I see producer Anya was kind of like, whoa, yeah. I mean, right, Anya?
Yeah, it's a good clapback. I wonder how old this governor is. Maybe he's up there in his 60s, 70s. He remembers the Bronze Age, not the... But you know, I'm a Stones fan. I like when he gets out on stage and says something like that. So, yeah, good for him.
Exactly. Jeff Landry is 53 years old. So, you know... He's up there, but he, you know, and really, I love it too. Anytime somebody has that opportunity to share not only the politics of their music, but to share that sentiment, Mick Jagger, you've earned that, and appreciate you speaking truth to power.
Yeah, amazing, right? 80 years old, yeah, doing what he does do. It is incredible. Yeah, you know what? And I'm a little bit older than Governor Landry, and I have to say that I saw the Stones farewell tour in the 80s.
That wasn't a farewell either.
It was just see you later.
Tell you how many bands I've seen their final show.
You know, back in the Stone Age of the 80s, yeah, the Rolling Stones were saying farewell back at that time. And here it is, 2024. And no, they're not. Man, Johnny Busted Pencils, loving it. Monday, Teacher Appreciation Week. First day one, Teacher Appreciation Week. We're saying, you know what, all week long too. Yeah, Busted Pencils, we are going to be appreciating those teachers. In fact, I put it out there for all the listeners. Give us a call. Tell us, come on to the show. Tell us who your favorite teacher is. Show some love, show some appreciation. That's what we want to do here all week. Busted Pencils. Yep. If you forgot, the number is 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Favorite teacher, teacher love, teacher appreciation. Come on, let us know. Remind us who they are. Johnny, you had first grade teacher. I did my fourth grade teacher. Dr. Nancy Carlson Page, Matt Damon's mom, did one of my favorite, I'd say, teachers too, just from the old idea, Howard Zinn, A People's History of the United States. My goodness, talk about that. You know, we're going to have Dr. Nancy Carlson Page on. Oh, wait, we will. Every first Monday of the month, it will be. That's right. What would Matt Damon's mom say? You know, we're going to have a little bit more, though, about this conversation. She was on Howard Zinn's front porch hanging out.
Yeah, we got to come back to that.
We got to come back to that. It's Busted Pencils, fully leaded. Tomorrow night, Diane Ravitch. Yes, for sure. We mean it this time. See you tomorrow.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Crude and Dom.
Donald Trump is interviewing the celebrity apprentices that want to be his vice president, and he's back in court in New York. Tune in, Devil's Advocates. All the coverage you need.
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 4 till 6. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I went to go see The Queen of My Dreams, which is a beautiful film about a mother-daughter relationship. So funny, so beautiful, so heartfelt. Would highly recommend it.
And that concludes our Monday morning segment of Here's How Pat Kreitlow Is an Uncultured Slob. You are cultured, man. You are a big old cup of yogurt over there. I mean, we're talking some fruit on the bottom over there.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 till 8. On your local civic media radio station and on the app. This is your local civic media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM. W245 CT Hayward. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.